Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com and DebatePhysics.com also. Video presentation on the subject of debate. Yes, we have a bold statement by an Andrew Castro. I'll debate you. trolls. And yes, it's a troll comment in the sense that you will. Who are you? What's your qualifications? Why don't you get on with it? I mean, you know, you'll debate me in what context? After I pay you $1 million, what exactly is this? No. Just such a nothing statement. Obviously, if somebody has a counter-argument, they could just present their counter-argument. You know, they could initiate the debate, you know, without introduction or anything else, if they had a, you know, an argument to offer. But they don't really. They're just playing the game. And, you know, that's all it is for most of the people in the audience. There just isn't anyone. Yeah, it's just trolls and, you know, others. So in the others category, there's Chaz Charlton, who I've had some disagreements with in the past about things I can't specifically remember, but it doesn't really matter. Long-time internet friend, we'd say. And, you know, he posted a comment, "Most scientific theories start with, grant me this assumption." No, they just make a declaration and they just arrogantly say, "We've proven." So, you know, we've proven there's entanglement and we've proven that light is bent and we're proven mv squared and we've proven. We've proven that, you know, atoms are the Bohr model. They don't even debate or leave any ground for, well, something else could be true. No, they just arrogantly say, "This is the fact." Okay. And then they'll tell you a story. Yeah, so, and then they'll elaborate on their wrong assumption and just build a whole pile of mess. By the way, Gary, how have you been? Yes, well, you know, I'm on Earth. You know, covered with Earthlings, humans. So, yes, I've been shitty. Yeah, because I have to live among the humans. Ew. The disgusting, lying, phony, fake, trolly, crappy, shitty humans. So, anyway, so this I'll debate you statement is just so vacuous. So all you have to do, I mean, this isn't that complicated, okay? There's a few simple arguments, so we'll go through maybe three subjects real quick. Kinetic energy, the bending of light by anything other than matter. And what's the other one? And, oh, yeah, the two-slit thing, yes, the wave theory of light that, you know, I have thoroughly debunked in the sense that it can't be explained by their simplistic description of the reality. It just won't work. It can't work. It's crap. And they just won't admit it. All right, so in 16, let's just say 78, okay, Leibniz, a scientist, a lawyer first, a diplomat, a world traveler, a guy who, you know, liked to be noticed, decided that he's going to be anti, you know, the establishment. And so it was kind of well established by Galileo and Descartes that momentum, you know, you just take a thing's mass, okay, and its velocity, and that pretty much equals any notion of energy. That this is the consistent thing in the universe, is that there's stuff, okay, that you could call movement, that you could, in a sense, quantize, that there was an amount of it, like a fluid almost, and that in Descartes' view, it just cycled through the universe. So it never, the energy never disappeared, it was just always somewhere doing something at any one time. So heat would go from one object to another object, motion, everything would just transfer because this stuff, this fluid, never evaporated. All right, so that was pretty bold and pretty smart, frankly. And it was this quantity, they called it a quantity of motion. And, you know, they didn't have the word energy yet. But that's what it was, kind of understood as. And then Leibniz decided that, no, we're going to do this mv squared. Okay. And we're going to say that defines energy. So in his opinion, okay, a speeding bullet, all right, because of its disproportional mass to velocity ratio, the gun is 1,000 times heavier. Okay, this is 1/1,000th of the mass, and the velocities are inverted. This has 1,000 times the velocity, okay, and this has 1/1,000th of the velocity. All right, and so this, by this equation, has 4,000, okay, you could say joules of energy, and this has 4. Okay, 4-to-1 relationship. Just really bad physics, frankly. So in the 1800s, they realized, well, that's just, well, frankly, you know, and this was, you know, 3-4 years later, Newton demonstrated pretty clearly that, you know, MV is the right answer, predicted lots of stuff using MV, okay, just MV, no squared. So nobody believed this MV squared stuff. So then you go to the 1700s, and they did, as I pointed out, some pretty bad experiments, you know, where they drop rounded objects into a substance, a clay, and then measured how much they displace of the clay. Now, obviously, the shape of the object means that objects that go deeper spend more time pushing clay this way than pushing clay this way. And objects that don't go as deep, they have more this arrow than this arrow. So that's a simple, you can see that pretty easily, right? If I draw that two ways, you can see this difference, right? These are two different circumstances. And this gets to friction, which we'll get to later. So this is 1742 or something. So this idea that nobody believed, that Leibniz was buried, nobody even showed up at the funeral. He had already discredited himself in his fight with Newton over calculus and other things. Blah, 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 blah. And so I got resurrected in the 1700s by a woman, Madame Chartelet, and everybody fell for it because they didn't really think about this round object thing because, well, that's physics, and they don't want to do too much thinking. They just want superficial, sparky things to happen. They want to make it all into magic and fun because, you know, that's what science is magic and fun. All right, so then in the 1840s or so, Thomas Young, of two-slit fame, invents the word energy. Well, he's the first one to use it anyway, in a public way. And they fix the equation in the sense that they add a 1/2 in front of the mv squared, okay? So they just arbitrarily almost put this 1/2 in here because they decided work, okay? So they invented an equation for what work means. This, holding this pen, is not work, because the pen isn't moving. So, that's how bad the physics is that lots of things you know is work, okay, they say isn't work. All right, so you push on the Empire State Building, for example. You go out to hide and you push on it all day, push, 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 push. And the Empire State Building doesn't move. Yeah, you didn't do any work. It's really a dumb definition. So they decide that was force times distance. So it's just about how far something goes, and that tells you what its energy is, which is really stupid. It's so trivial, and so it's so baby. It's so, only little kids in kindergarten could be fooled by this. It's so bad. I mean, it's just so bad as a description. It's so ignorant and dumb and stupid. It's so unphysics-like because it doesn't really think about, oh, well, what happens in space? Because that's what physicists do. They think about, like, that's how Newton did the whole gravity thing. He thought about what happens to a cannonball if there's no air resistance. And, I shoot it at a high enough speed that, oh yeah, it's going to keep going. And if it keeps going and it's going faster than the Earth is curving, that, you know, it's going to end up in this thing called an orbit. The whole way he figured that out was to think about what things do in the real universe, you know, the one that doesn't have trees in the way. Oh, it's just, oh, I shouldn't have to explain this. But anyway, all right, I'll race and be back. All right, so we're at the 1800s or something like that, right? Okay, and so they basically did the, they had MV squared up to 1840. That was the thing. And then they changed it to 1/2 MV squared. And so these were always the things that had an equals to them, right? So they went from, in the gun example, a 1 to 4,000, okay, ratio in the energy of things with the same momentum. So two things with the same momentum could have outrageously different amounts of energy, whatever that was, right? So energy was somehow something completely different than momentum. Momentum says 1 to 1, all right? Kinetic energy, this much, says, you know, 10,000 to 1, 400 million to 1. You could have any kind of wacky ratio of disproportion. And this is after Newton had a third law that said, now for every action, there's an equal reaction, and the actions and the reactions are going to be understood as momentum. I mean, of course, Newton believed in momentum, so that's what he was talking about. The equal reaction would be measured in momentum. So they believe in Newton's third law, right? They sit there and accept a theory that basically says, no, the third, there's no such thing as the third law. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a real theory. Okay, so they went from 1 to 4,000 to 1 to 2,000, right? So the disproportion got a little more sensible, right? Their answers weren't quite as wacky, but they're still just too silly, okay? 1 to 2,000 when the real answer, momentum, says 1 to 1. So obviously this isn't right. This is garbage. All right, so that's the 1840s, and now we're stuck with that because of, again, the work equation, which is force times distance. Now, the big problem with that is gravity and friction on Earth. So instead of thinking about what happens in space, right, so I have an object of 2 mass, and I have another object of 1 mass, and so I give this one, you know, 2x the velocity. And this has 1 velocity. And you can understand they now they have the same momentum. Now, if I launch them in space, what will happen? Well, the thing with 1 velocity, the heavier mass, will go that far. And the thing with the 1 mass, or with the 2 velocity, will go twice as far. That's it, just twice. Twice as far, okay, because it's, you know, half the mass. And so momentum works perfectly, okay? And there's no evidence of any kinetic energy extra here. The distance, okay, the force times the distance, okay, will end up being equal to the mass times the velocity, okay? It's going to be the same thing, and that's going to equal the energy. The distance is going to just be twice the distance, half the mass. So it's just going to be basically saying they have the same, you have to put in here the momentum, you know, P times, okay, D, because again, that's Newton. Newton pointed out that the force equals your momentum. All right, so this would be, you know, mass times velocity, okay, doing distance. So that's all you're going to get. You're going to get exactly the same. It's going to be equal, okay? This isn't going to go 4 times as far, okay? It's only going to go twice as far, twice the distance. All right, now if you do it on land, okay, where there's friction, all right, then you're going to get a different answer. And I should be able to erase this quickly enough to not have to pause. Okay, so let's do it on, you do it on a surface, and what happens? Well, if you do the experiment on a surface, right, and you roll the 2 objects, so here's the 2 mass. These things are good for a while, and then they stop being good. Anyway, so the 2 mass, you can understand that gravity, there's going to be twice as much force collected by the 2 mass, okay? So you drop the heavy object, a hammer, and you drop a feather. When they hit the ground, the hammer has a lot more energy. It makes a bigger hole and dent, even though they travel at the same speed, because it's collected more, because it's got more mass, okay? So yes, the effects of gravity on this one are going to be much more extreme. That is, there's more mass to push into the surface. You can understand it's going to dent the surface. If it was, the surface was a piece of plastic or, you know, flexible stuff,
you could understand that the heavier object is going to dent it more. Oh, it's kind of like their little silly gravity analogy, right? Where, you know, they're bending the tablecloth with the mass. Okay, so the heavier, the more dent. Okay, the lighter, the less dent, right? So the less contact with the ground. So obviously this is going to, theoretically, these things would go forever in space, and this one would go twice the velocity, and this would have one the velocity. And, you know, you would predict that, yeah, this one would go twice as far, not four times as far. But the catch is this one's heavier, and it's slower, which means it has a lot more contact with the ground. All right, so it's able to leak its energy into the ground at a much higher rate than this is. And it'd be just like a thermal contact. The more you touch something that's hot, the more pressure you apply, the more heat goes into your skin. So it's the same as a thermal argument. You're basically saying, how fast can I pull the energy out of the object? Well, the more contact, the more ability to pull the energy out. So in this circumstance, because gravity is creating half as much pressure, okay, there's this one can go a lot further, okay, and so it'll go maybe four times as much. It could go 3.5, it could go 5.5. Just kind of depends on the circumstance, what the materials are made out of, and how well they make contact with the surface that has the friction, how much they bounce, how rigid the surface is. Lots of things will decide how this ratio will go. But yes, it's going to be a 1-4 kind of relationship. And it only exists because of gravity again, because gravity does this thing, you know, where you drop something from one distance and you drop something from 4 units of distance, okay? This one will only have 2x the speed, and it'll only take 2x the time, okay, to fall 4 times further. But it's only in the gravity twice as long, so it only really has twice the energy, okay, as this one. Because it only doubled the velocity, right? But so gravity has this little catch to it. Yes, I think smart people should be able to say, oh, I can understand that catch. I can understand how, you know, because this is accelerating, as both objects are accelerating, that, you know, it's... this one's going to move a lot faster through the gravity and therefore not collect as much gravity, not correct 4 units of gravity, because it's moving through it much faster. Okay, just like you running through the rain, the faster you went from point A to point B, you can understand the faster you do that, the less rain is going to hit you. Okay, you're going to get less wet. Now, not complicated at all, really kind of simple physics. This really shouldn't even be an argument. Smart people should be able to concede, okay, yes, this was a stupid equation. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's not even in a context, frankly. Okay, I need a new one. Okay, we just find a new one over here. I got a million of them now. I think sometimes it's just an issue. Yeah, that one works good. All right, so we don't need that. And this MV, this was a bad idea. There's no point in it. Okay, Newton, Galileo, and Descartes all got really good answers using just MV. That's all you need. M, mass times velocity, tells you how much energy something has, how much capacity an object has to move all the little tiny bits in the universe. So if I just measure it based on how far you can move electrons, you know, how many electrons can I push 10 feet or whatever, MV will give you the answer, because that's all you're really saying. You're saying the mass is the number of electrons, the velocity is how was their average speed, and you're just going to convert that into other objects. You're just going to make this energy, like Descartes said, you're just going to take it and you're going to say, well, if I make something else move, okay, if I take energy from this to make this move, then this moves less, this moves more. You're just transferring a real thing, okay? And the real thing happens to be a thing called a force, which is just a quantum, okay, of movement through the universe at the speed of light. Okay, it's a little bit, you could say, of energy. A packet, they say, okay? They use the word wave in front of the word packet, but it's just a packet of energy. And it exists in this known universe in that form. Alright, so I'll take a pause there, and then I'll just point out more of the evidence, okay, the irrefutable evidence.
So debating this just requires you to post a link that shows, okay, it taking four times more fuel to go twice as fast, because that's the implication of 1/2 mv², is that it takes four times as much fuel to go twice as fast, to get something up to twice the speed. Okay, and there's no evidence of this.
The only evidence they use the braking argument. How long does it take something, how far does something go when you try to apply brakes? Well, that's just the friction argument again. That's just the gravity argument again. And again, that's just trivially understood that it doesn't happen in space. Do the experiment in space and you're not going to get these answers anymore. Because you're not going to misunderstand something as simple as friction.
All right. I'll be back. Alright, so let's just do some of the simple proofs. This is what you have to debate. You have to show a physical experiment. Now, I've linked to a Mythbusters car crash video that pretty much where, even though they weren't trying to bust the myth of the kinetic energy formula, they did. And in a rather decisive way. The cars show only 50-mile-an-hour crash, 100-mile-an-hour crash, only twice the energy, okay? Not four times the energy, not anything else, okay? They smash some clay with the right way, and the clay shows, twice the velocity, twice the energy. Not four times the energy, only twice the energy. Okay, I've pointed out a simple device is a lever, right? Okay, so I put a fulcrum here in the middle. I put a 2-mass here. I put a 1-mass here, right? Okay, now let's just say you can only see 1/2 of the lever, all right? Now the fact is what it'll do is it'll oscillate this much on this side. Obviously this part here will oscillate this much. And this object will oscillate this much. So this object will go up and down twice as much as this object. Let's make it a good twice there. All right, so this one goes up and down only this amount. This one goes up and down twice the amount. All right, so let's say you were in a box and you could only see this half. If a scientist saw something doing this, okay, with this mass moving this much, and it calculated, right, it calculated how much energy is there, it would say, let's say 100 joules. Okay, and then it goes over to this side and calculates, so how much energy is there over here based on just all it sees is this. Just sees a mass moving. And it says, how much is that mass, how much energy is that? Okay, this mass moving those dimensions. And it's going to say 200 for this. That's what its calculation is going to do. It's going to say this has twice as much energy as this side. Now, you'll know it's a lever. It can't possibly be creating energy. It doesn't create energy. It just converts energy. You can put, steady force on one side and have a little strong force on the other side. That's what levers do. They don't make free energy. Everybody knows you can't jump on a lever and make energy. Because then we'd all have levers and all just jump on levers. Okay, because we could just create a machine that would just perpetually make free energy because it's got 200 joules over here and it only puts 100 joules in. I mean, that's free energy. So we know it can't be doing this. This can't be true. I mean, it really, you have to be smarter than a physicist. A doctorate in physics, you have to be smarter than a physicist, you have to be smarter than a NASA, a rocket scientist to be able to do this, to figure out that this cannot possibly equal that, that these two things don't equal each other, 100 does not equal 200, and that levers don't make free energy, so this cannot possibly be true. Frickin' rocket scientists can't figure that out. Let alone all their dumb little sycophant, entanglement, wooey little girly physics chasing nonsense jackasses that are in the sycophant minion armies of these fucking idiots talking this absolute religious crap. I have to do it? I have to sit there and mock you and point out how stupid are you fuckers? You can't figure out that can't be true. It can't be a free energy device. That's fucking retarded.
You can't even imagine in your head, again, the 10-ton train, okay, going one half the velocity of the 5-ton train, okay, and you can't figure out going one velocity. You can't figure out that these two things are the same thing, that it wouldn't matter which one you wanted to create, that they would be the same thing, and that this is exactly that circumstance. Here's the 10-ton train going half the velocity. Here's the 5-ton train going twice the velocity. You know a lever would create them. Either way I want to go. 5-ton train will create 10-ton going 5. 10-ton train in going 5 will create 5-ton 10 going 10 coming out. Come on. I have to do this over and over again? You're so fucking belligerently religious and so fucking belligerently stupid that you won't sit there and recognize you're right, Gary. There's no way this 1/2 mv² is rational. This is the same energy over here, is the same fucking energy that's on this side, no doubt about it. And obviously, if I could make the lever in the thought experiment way, if I had an infinite lever and I didn't have to worry about the lever's mass and air resistance and gravity and all that crap, that I could theoretically make a lever and I could put a bullet on the one side going 1,000 miles an hour, okay, and put just the gun recoil, okay, on the other side of the lever, okay, and I could create those two circumstances, and yes, it would be the same energy. The heavy gun, the 1,000 times heavier gun moving will equal the 1,000 times lighter bullet movement, and it's just a simple relationship that exists. It's the same momentum, it's the same amount of energy, it's the same amount of ability to push atoms. Both of them will push the same number of atoms, the total same distance. The little fast thing makes a lot of little atoms really quick go very fast, and the big thing makes a lot more atoms go a little slower. You can't understand that. That's all it is, right? Little thing makes the small contact, very few atoms, makes them go very fast. Big thing, lots of atoms, slow. You can't understand that it's the same fucking thing. No. So if you want to debate me, just make a counter argument. Point out how levers really are free energy devices. And, you know, we just need Barnum and Bailey to be resurrected so they can snooker us into buying free energy levers. So it's just a marketing problem. The free energy's right there for us to all have. No, it's a government conspiracy. The government has kept the lever from us and is hiding it. It's hiding the free energy device from us. Is that your theory, fuckhead? You stupid, idiotic, moronic, turdy, shit-talking fuckers. And you wonder why I have contempt? Contempt for you assholes? Stop wondering. It's obvious you're assholes. You're fucking religious, fucking tyrannical morons just trying to support your own failures. Just trying to defend your failure position. You have failed dismally and you just won't admit it. You all think you're very good drivers. No, you're not. You're assholes. You're not ass burgers. All right. So the other argument, it just makes it so clear and so obvious. You're in a completely indefensible position. So again, I've offered $2,000, in some cases $3,000, to the Veritasium types, the Steve Mould types, all of these pretentious douchebags who claim to know something about fucking goddamn physics. Physics girl. And then you got the less popular ones, the baldy cat weasel cowards, the AB science douchebags. They've all been offered whatever it takes to get them to make a counter argument, and they won't fucking do it. You can't pay them enough because they can't do it. That's why they won't take my money, is because they can't make a reasonable argument defending this crap as having anything to do with the truth. All right, so the other argument's decisive, just finishes the argument, okay? You have a syringe, okay, and you just put a piece of tubing on it, and then you can connect it to one or two syringes. So let's just connect it to two other syringes. All right, okay, so the syringe has a little lever in it. I mean, a little device, okay? And so you just spread this over two syringes, right? All right, so these are just cylinders, the syringes, okay? That's all they are, all right? And the fact is, I can do whatever I do here, okay, with the one, all right? I put a velocity in, okay, and I displace the fluid in the syringe. The fact is I'm going to spread it into two equal size vessels, and so it's the same volume. It's a certain amount of volume, and the certain amount of volume has to displace the same volume in these two, and obviously it's going to do it half and half. One half, okay? One half, not one quarter, not some other number, one half. All right, and this one's going to go half the velocity. And this one's going to go one half the velocity. So I have twice the mass now. See, there's two mass units, okay, equaling the volume that'll be this one's mass unit when it finally finishes, right? So you got twice the volume, half the volume, and it's just a simple relationship. So no matter what I do, this is just 10-ton train, 5-ton train all over again. So the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour, well, this would be the 5-ton going 10. Sorry, 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. So I have the higher velocity here, less volume. I have twice the volume here. And what am I going to get? I'm going to have 10 for the volume, and I'm going to have 5 for the velocity, because it's moving two of them this time. And it's going to work just like the lever. It's going to just demonstrate that the same amount of energy, okay, this, all right, you know, this size mass, that's the wrong way to draw it again, sorry. All right, so I have a mass this size, and I have a velocity this size, and here I'm going to have a mass this size, and I'm going to have a velocity this size. And the two are going to be dead equal, and there's not going to be any squaring of this velocity to make a huge gigantic mess and say this has 4 times the energy. It doesn't have 4 times the energy. It doesn't have 4 times the ability to say if this was a real little sphere. It doesn't have 4 times, it's not going to give this little sphere 4 times the movement. If I could put all of this thing's movement, you know, the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour or the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour, if I could put all of their movement into this object, okay, this one is not going to make it go 4 times faster, 4 times further, 4 times anything. It's going to be equal. It's the same damn thing. All right. Point. You can't defeat these arguments. So pressure proves it, okay? Fluid dynamics proves it. The lever proves it. Decisive proof. The silly Mythbusters prove it, okay? I mean, it's proven fact, and all you have on your side is dropping round objects into clay. And the fake experiment that you've never done, showing that it takes 4 times more fuel to go twice as fast, because it doesn't. It's not a proven fact. It's not a demonstrated fact. You have no evidence. Now, if you want to debate me, all you have to do is link me to your evidence. Link me to your experiment showing something else. Okay, even morons like the Brozo have experiments that prove this to be exactly correct. Okay, 19 to 11. Yeah, that's almost 20 to 10, right? So it's almost half. You have no theoretical ground to stand on. If MV squared was correct, levers are free energy devices. Syringes, all right, fluids. Every time you squish a syringe, you could make free energy. And you could just make a device, again, that was just circular. You could just make a perpetual motion machine and a free energy machine. You could have both of them. Simple mechanical devices become free energy machines if MV squared is true. It's obviously not true. It's obviously not good science. It's obviously not good physics. It's obviously not an accurate description of the fucking universe. If the aliens ever did show up, they're clearly going to say, what the fuck were you thinking? I mean, where? Why did you believe something so stupid? It's idiotic. I mean, it's dumber than virgin birth. It really is that stupid. How could you fall for it? Everything is indicating you can't have this free energy stuff. The virgin birth doesn't fucking happen.
we'd have it if it was that easy. It doesn't fucking happen. There is no free fucking energy. All right, so why are you believing in something that dictates that there must be? And it's right in front of you. It's so fucking obvious. Just make levers and make free energy all day long. Heat your house with your free energy lever. Oh, fuck. All right, so we'll just leave it at that, frankly. Maybe I'll make a separate video for the two-slit one. And, you know, for the wave, the bullshit. The absolute bullshit that two waves can create the actual double-slit pattern. Can't be drawn, can't be understood, can't happen, doesn't happen, it's bullshit. Why do you believe? It's so, it's just, like I said, you don't have to scratch at this physics very hard, and you people are unwilling to scratch at any of it. The preacher says so. The mullah told me so. Why do you believe them? Because they own some, they have a pocket full of numbers. Here's my fancy equation, you know. Funny forky symbol equals laffy, laffy, laffy signal, you know. Aren't you impressed? I proved it. Fuck. Anyway. I hate this planet. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So there's nothing, yeah. You know, it's so fucking disappointing. Because I can't really have the expectation that AB Science didn't listen to any of the videos, or Baldy Cats, or any of these cunts. And that they haven't recognized that, well, yeah, some of these arguments are pretty good, and frankly, I ought to deal with them. These are pretty good arguments. I mean, yeah, levers really do appear, okay, theoretically, to be free energy devices by the formula. There's no way around it. I mean, the lever's obviously creating half the mass, twice the velocity on one side, and, you know, I can make it four times, by the way. You know, I can make it 4-1, or 8-1, or 10-1, or 2,000-1. You know, the lever can be an incredibly free energy device, really big time. You know, every time you shoot a gun, free energy. Yeah. Somehow the explosion only creates 2 joules going that way and 2,000 joules going that way. Something explosions can't do. I mean, shit. It's just so bad. It's just, like I said, what is there to think? So you don't know any science, and yet you just believe what they say for some fucking reason. Because they're the authorities. I mean, what? Okay, college degrees are impressive. They had to go to school. They had to learn stuff. If it was all bullshit, they would have figured it out. That seems to make sense, but it only seems to make sense. It obviously doesn't happen. Obviously, they just become part of the religion, and they just keep working within the religion. They just keep using their God's shovel. You know, they keep using tools that are made out of their false and fake notions. And again, that's why they never show up with any of this crap, right? They just keep promising the quantum this and the quantum that, but it never shows up. And then they take credit for things that have nothing to do with it, like laser beams and transistors. You know, it's just so bad. So the scientists suck because they're cowards, and the regular people suck because they're just sheeple. And so there's just me. Yeah, surrounded by assholes. All right, anyway. And the religious, the actual religious kooks are so anti-science, you know, they don't want to hear anything that doesn't have something to do with E equals God. You know, so it's just hopeless. All right. But I have to endeavor to persevere, so that's my only option, so that's what I'll do. But fuck. You're just, you know, in hindsight, you're just going to look exactly as I've described you, like just such douchebags. know, you won't concede. You've lost the argument. It's over. You have to say the words, Gary is right. It's way past time. All right, so anyway, this has been draftphysics.com. See, look what 2 days off does. Oh, that's not the right one. Same difference, though. So this has been draftphysics.com. Debatephysics.com also, but again, cowards, nothing. Okay, Andrew Castro, I'll debate you. Well, start doing it. You could write a sentence that's a counter argument, or you could make a video, or you could make an audio file, or you could provide a link. Any one of those would constitute a counter argument in some kind of sense and a debate, but you haven't done any of that. Let alone show that you have any knowledge of physics at all and are even slightly competent to even form or construct a relevant argument. Oh, this is so fucking bad. All right, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.